Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Ann Ortley's Weekly Weather. My name is Ann Ortley, and I'm an astrologer here in New York, and I'm sitting here at my bright red desk. And up until like 30 seconds ago, Hanson was sitting here on the desk with me, and he's now left me and run off, I guess, to the bathroom. I don't know. What we do here on the Weekly Weather is we talk about what's happening in the heavens above, how you can work with the energy productively, and then also what you can expect in the week ahead. And this is the report for the week of September 9th, 2013. We are in Virgo time, which is always a time of fun. It gets us back in the focus, gets us back in the loop, gets us back connected to our foundations. We often find that we're really working on our skills and figuring out what we are and doing our homework and focusing on our health and back to school, back to work. The holidays of summer are over. The vacation time is past. It's time to get the books out and sharpen the pencils and get the book bag and the lunchbox and all that stuff. So what we're going to talk about this week is how to work with the energy in the heavens and what all is going on, because there's a lot going on up there. Now, last week we had Mars square Saturn, which actually doesn't perfect until tomorrow morning on the 9th. So what Mars square Saturn does is it often makes us feel a little blocked. So I know I had a little trouble getting back to doing things. It seemed like every time I would do something, I got interrupted and it would get carried off into the next pile. Mars square Saturn this week finishes tomorrow morning, Monday morning. So that offers a great deal of opportunity for us to go back to the things we didn't finish last week, finish them up, and move forward. We also had that fabulous new moon in Virgo in our health house. So if you didn't get your health program started last week when you intended to, you can do it today, you can do it tomorrow, you can do it Tuesday when the moon is in Scorpio with a lovely closing aspect and Mars square Saturn's past, so you're actually going to be able to get some traction, get it moving, get it grounded. Strong energy this week around the creative. We have four planets entering new signs. Whenever that happens, we really notice a big turbulence in the heavens. So the two personal planets that are shifting signs this week are Libra. Mercury's entering Libra, and Venus is entering Scorpio. So Mercury enters Libra on the 9th, and when that happens, he is going to be in that sign until the 29th, so about 20 days of communications. Libra is always about balanced communications, polite, kind, nice, you know, doesn't say mean things. Mercury in Virgo always tells the truth, which is really helpful. But when it goes into Libra, it doesn't say you look fat in the pants. It suggests that maybe a skirt would be better. So it's a polite version of Mercury. So we're going to find we're in the mood to be polite, to communicate, to connect with people, to partner with people, to re-initiate perhaps where we have maybe been a little harsh. Venus, on the other hand, is going into Scorpio. Now, Venus is leaving Libra, where she's been very polite, and she's entering Scorpio, that she's going to be until October 7th. So we have 7 days of October, and we have 19 days of, because she goes in on the 11th, we have 19 days of September. So we're looking at a good 26, 27 days of Venus in a very passionate placement. Now, I personally live with Venus in Scorpio. It can be really, really good, right? And it's the phrase, when she was good, she was very, very good, and when she was bad, she was better. Venus in Scorpio is really passionate. So all the Libra planets, including Mercury that just shifted into Libra, are now going to be responding a little bit more passionately to things. Venus in Scorpio doesn't like being thwarted. It likes it her own way, and that's a good and a bad thing. Normally, Venus is supposed to be compliant and gracious and kind and, you know, take the presents that are given to her. Venus in Scorpio, she's a little more opinionated. She's got a little more desire nature. She's got a little more, I don't want it that way, I like it this way, thank you very much. It's considered to be in its detriment when it's in Scorpio, because we don't like to think of the Venusian nature as being a little bit pushy. Bad day, Glenn Close, Fatal Attraction, Boil the Bunny. Good Day, Glenn Close, Fatal Attraction, Hot Sex in the Elevator. So we understand Venus and Scorpio as a very passionate placement. So we're going to find the passions running a little bit strong. And that happens on Wednesday. She enters into Scorpio on Wednesday. So we're going to see that as a very strong energy, too. The other two planets that are changing, they're actually asteroids, but they're getting more and more traction with people as they move forward. We also are going to have Vesta entering Virgo on September 10th. Vesta is the planet of home and hearth. So a lot of energy around the body, around the hearth, around what you actually call your home, around the physical plant that supports you, and organizing it, structuring it, getting it in position to really help you move forward. For a lot of people, this is going to show up as a health aspect, meaning they're going to want to do healthy things. I've had people all the last couple of weeks have all been showing up going, I need to get my health in order. I need to get my health in order. And it's the Virgo feel of, gee, I'm back to work. I'm back to school. I got to organize my health. Vesta in Virgo for 60-some-odd days, because she's in Virgo till November, we're going to really find we're really focusing on our health and really wanting to get that activated. The other thing that's shifting is Pallas Athena is going into Leo. Okay, she goes into Leo on September 11th. Athena in Leo is, Pallas Athena is how we see the patterns and how we understand the reality of our own life or the reality of the lives we see around us. It's a very strategic placement in any chart. You look at Pallas Athena to see the intelligence of the person, to see their ability to be strategic, their ability to understand what other people are doing and why they're doing it, and then their appropriate or inappropriate responses to same. When Venus goes into Leo, or I'm sorry, when Pallas Athena goes into Leo, what we generally find is that we're looking at the strategy that we as an ego person in the world want to pursue. In other words, we're answering to the sun, we're answering to Leo, so we're going to answer to our own ego's purpose about what it wants, whatever your sun sign is. So if you're a Cancer, you want to nurture and grow things, you're going to be strategic about how to do that. If you're a Scorpio and you like to transform things and change things and delve into the deepness, you're going to go do that. So when Pallas Athena goes into Leo, your natal sun is going to be saying to her, look, this is what I really want. And then, of course, it answers to the sun in the sky, which is Virgo, for the first part of it, which says this is how to do it, because Venus, Sun, and Virgo is the how to do it planet. All those how-to books were written by Virgos. They write the to-do manuals. They write the manuals that tell you how to actually get stuff accomplished. That's a Virgo kind of job. So when Pallas Athena enters Leo till November, she wants to know how to do it. And she's going to look to Virgo, who's going to tell her how to do it for your own sun sign. So you're going to find people are very focused on what their individual strategy is to get them to what they want. Now, remember, we're still working with Saturn in Scorpio, which asks us to commit. And one of the jobs he's been asking us, he's been working on us, working with us on, is getting clear about where we're resistant to committing, right? Because Scorpio, Saturn's always where we resist things or where we have a hard time or where we're a little fearful. So when he goes into Scorpio, he says, hey, you're supposed to commit to this. And we go, ooh, geez, really commit? I don't know that I want to commit. That makes me a little nervous. I want to know how I'm going to get out of it, actually. And so he's been working with you on the primary issues around commitment that went on through zero to age 11. You know, what made you afraid of committing based on your childhood, or what in your childhood affected how you commit, maybe is a better way to say it, because some people aren't afraid of committing. Sometimes they commit and they have trouble letting go. So Saturn in Scorpio, while we're working with him, is about understanding that commitment. And, of course, Scorpio's, the point of Scorpio energy is merging, commencement, bonding with another on a really deep level. You know, in Scorpio, in its highest form, wants to merge on an incredibly deep level and really just kind of mind meld. It's like the Vulcan mind meld to the max, where we totally understand. We've totally merged with the other. I'm with you, you're with me, and we've got this deep merging. Of course, lower form Scorpio has issues with merging, issues with commitment, issues with showing who they really are, because, you know, they're afraid you aren't going to like them, because that was the whole issue when they were born. Their mother or father, somebody in their family didn't want them. And they're very sensitive to not being wanted. So the minute a Scorpio smells not wanted, they disappear or they do some kind of manipulative controlling thing to kick stuff off. So Saturn in Scorpio says, look where you're manipulating and controlling to prevent merging, which is what he's been working with us on. I'm going to be happy when Mercury goes into Libra. Working with us since last October when he entered Scorpio, right? Because when he was in Libra, he was like, do you want a partner or not? And everybody was like, yeah, I want a partner. I think I want a partner. So we all got, okay, let me partner. And then we realized all the areas we get in the way when we partner, how we screw it up ourselves or how we do things that kind of sabotage it or cause problems. So Saturn got as high as 11, January, February, and then he went backwards, right, till May. And now he's going forwards again. He's going to pass the point of his station next month. Right now he's about a 7. And he's asking us, okay, so, like, how did you merge with people when you were 7 years old? What was going on when you were 7? What was happening in those years? And our job with Saturn at 7 and 8, of course, that's old enough to know about playing nicely, but not old enough to know all the different ways you can play nicely, because you're only 8 years old, right? So Saturn in Scorpio is about 8 right now. And if you think about what was going on for you in third grade, I had Mrs. Matthews as a teacher myself. Third grade as that time frame, because that's where we are now. We're all about third grade in our Saturn development, in our commitment issues, in our understanding of how we commit. And as he continues to go forward through 11, we're going to resolve the stuff that we've been working on since last October, and then we're going to enter a whole new place in November. And then we're going to really push through to, I think it's March, with the energy. So that's a real positive time now about understanding where you want to commit, how you want to commit, what that looks like, and what it's going to feel like energetically. Our week this week starts out the week with the moon in Scorpio. So it's in Scorpio on the 9th, and it's void in Scorpio on the 10th. Which gives it a very strong, passionate energy. The closing aspect is a sextile to the sun, which is incredibly passionate and desire-based. Then we go into Sag moon on Wednesday and Thursday. The moon is void Thursday afternoon. Closing aspect for the Sag moon is a square to the sun. So that's a separating or a clarifying aspect that often involves a little bit of an argument of some sort. The end of the week, Friday, Saturday, Saturn is in Capricorn, and it's void Saturday night after 7 o'clock with a closing aspect of a trine to the sun. That's actually Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, and forgiveness of the sins and release from the previous past. And then on Sunday, the 15th, the sun is in Aquarius, which is very much a playful, creative, fun aspect, with the closing aspect being the moon opposite Mars. Again, a separating. So we have joining, separating all week as we go through the Scorpio, Sagittarius, Capricorn, and Aquarius houses in your chart. So there's a lot of energy around those planets and those signs. And we remember the moon goes through the whole chart in the course of the month. So now we're in the signs that are about the other guy and what they want, Scorpio, what they believe, Sagittarius, what their roots were, what their families were, Capricorn, and how they think of fun, what they think of playtime as being. So that's the energy for the moon. The other thing that happens, in addition to the four planets changing signs and Mars squaring Saturn this week, is a lot of energy around seeing things we hadn't seen before. Mercury and Pluto square each other. So Mercury, of course, is in Libra now, and he's going to square Pluto. He's also actually going to set off that whole T-square again. But Mercury in Libra wants a partner. wants to partner on some level and connect and relate, right? So as he builds up to his square with Pluto, he's going to be saying, for us to partner properly, somebody's going to have to change. Something's going to have to be transformed. And he has a very strong energy around wanting to transform things as he comes into that square with Pluto and the opposition that he's going to reach with Uranus on the 16th. And he's going to have also an aspect to Jupiter next week. So when we're looking at Mercury as a communication planet, as he's talking with this cardinal square that's starting to break up, and as he's stepping in and filling in a place in the hole, he's filling in a hole in the chart, he's going to be talking to us about the process of how we get there and the process that we have to engage in. He's in an air sign, so he's going to be very much about teaching how to communicate and partner. You talk, I talk, you talk, I talk. So I was talking to somebody the other day, and they were saying, well, you know, the whole issue with that person is they don't listen. And I kind of was, you know, I knew who the person was. I said, yeah, you know, they really don't. They don't know how to listen. It's not something they learned, right? And then I had a client here earlier today, Helen, and Helen was saying, you know, she's thinking about, you know, what her future is and where she's going to go. And she says, I was thinking of what I would do is I would hire out as a listener. I would hire and I would just listen to people. I would put a little sign up and say, hey, I'm going to listen to you, $5, you know. And I was like, really? Because people don't listen, right? So it's understanding Mercury in Libra wants that balance. It wants to go, yes, you talk. Okay, you talk. Okay, I talk. Okay, you talk. That back and forth rather than the preaching or that you have to do it my way or you have to follow my instructions. So there's a lot about dialogue in this next week as Mercury enters Libra. The other thing we have is Venus coming to trine Neptune, right? So now Venus enters Scorpio, which is a great place for her to be, passionate, passionate. And then she trines Neptune, which is the planet of desire and dreams and hopes. And, of course, in a week or so, she's going to catch up to Jupiter. But in Scorpio, as she trines Neptune, she's going to be talking to him about the dream, the passion. Now, remember, Saturn's been working with Neptune all summer. And, you know, he's pretty curmudgeonly in his approach to plan, you know, to anybody. It doesn't matter who. He just goes, I am Saturn. I rule the world. And so he has been talking to the planet of dreams, and he's been talking to the planet of relationships, Jupiter. And they've both been going, oh, he's Saturn. Well, now Venus is coming in. And she's got some plans, that girl does. So we want to listen to what Venus whispers in our ear this week as she approaches Neptune, as she approaches the dream of what we want, because she's active with it. The other thing that's happening is Mars. Mars, we didn't even cover him yet. Mars is in Leo, but he is approaching a trine to Uranus. And he's going to, I mean, last week he was approaching the square to Saturn, so he was getting blocked. Now he's about to have the doors blown open because he's approaching the trine to Uranus. The two fire guys are going to get together, Mars and Leo, trining Uranus and fire. Boom, boom, boom. That takes place on Saturday, too. So there's a lot of energy here around fiery passion, especially towards the end of the week. As we enter these planets kind of moving into position, and we watch that Star of David start to break up. The Star of David is breaking up, going to be breaking up and separating, becoming much less potent. Last chance to get your orders in, people. And then it separates. But it also is about what it is you want to create, because earth and water create things. They're mud. They make fertile ground. Fire and air, when there's a fire and air Star of David, they help us do the vision. They help us see things that we hadn't seen before. Earth and water are when we actually get it done. So the last little bits of it, so harness up that energy if you haven't yet. We also find the sun going from 16 Virgo to 22 Virgo this week. Virgo, it's in the middle decant, which is the Capricorn decant, hardworking, reliable, dependable. I happen to have a birthday this week on September 11th. Songs are most welcome, various and sundry singing. But we also find the Capricorn decan of Virgo is about achieving and working, and it's a hard-working placement. So we're going to find that we're in work mode, seriously, this week. We, you know, the kids come home with homework. It's not just about where your locker is anymore. It's about, okay, here's your homework assignment, too. On the 12th, the sun is parallel Uranus, so we can expect some excitement and some eruptions. You know, if we're actually going to go bombing Syria, that'll probably be when we do it, on the 12th. And we also have sun contra-parallel Eris, the goddess of discord, and Mercury on the 14th. So that implies that the sun, the ego, is not necessarily going to be listening very well, which is unfortunate. So our job is to kind of say, hey, are you listening to me? What did you hear me say? I always find it helpful when there's these hard aspects with the sun and Mercury, because very often people filter through their own stuff, their own paranoia, their own, whatever the right word for it is, their own issues, their own complexes, their own anxieties. And they hear through a filter. They don't actually hear the words. And I, you know, it's helpful when you see that or when you see it in the sky to take the moment to say, so what did you hear me say? Or what did I ask you to do? And just see if they actually tell you what you said. Because a lot of times they don't. We have a passel of Mercury aspects this week. Mercury is moving pretty quickly. He goes from 0 to 11, almost 12 in 7 days. So he's busy bee. He talks to the nodes of fate on the 14th. 14th is a really hot day. If we're bombing Syria, that's the day I am predicting. Mercury is aspecting the nodes of destiny and causing a little trouble with them, frankly. With the south node, he's an inconjunct to it. South node in Taurus, semi-sextile to the north node in Scorpio. You know, I was listening to the radio this morning, and somebody was like, okay, so we're going to kill people because they're killing people. That makes a lot of sense. It's understanding that when we have aspects to the nodes of fate, Mercury, or any planets, and we have actually 4 planets aspecting the nodes of fate this week, Mercury among them, what it does is it asks us to really get clear on how we want to work with our destiny. Mercury in Libra, of course, wants to partner with destiny, but he's talking to nodes that are fixed, that are pretty determined about what they want to do. Mercury also has a biquintile aspect to the south node on the 10th, suggesting that it's easy to let go of things if you want to. He does enter Libra this week again, which we mentioned at the beginning of the show, and he also has a square to Mercury on the 14th, which is hard news or harsh news, and he has a biquintile and a contraparallel to Uranus and Neptune, biquintile to Neptune, contraparallel to Uranus on the 14th. Whenever there's these Earth aspects, it tends to be big action on the Earth. So the 14th just keeps showing up, man. I got 14s all over the place. It's almost got a half a page of aspects. So let's watch and see what happens on Saturday. We also have Mercury in conjunct Chiron on the 15th, which offers some issues around the inability to heal. Chiron, of course, is in Pisces. Pisces, of course, is emotions and feelings and people feeling very strongly. And then, of course, Mercury's in Libra trying to be rational. But it's answering to Venus in Scorpio. Venus in Scorpio is not really the best place because she's like, you know, she's pretty tough. Venus in Scorpio is pretty tough. All right, Venus is going from Libra through 4, 5 Scorpio. So she changes signs on the 11th. Venus is going into Scorpio on the 11th, and she has a hard aspect with Saturn on the 10th and a hard aspect with Pallas Athena. So we can expect some emotional backlash or emotional difficulties around how we see things and about our commitments as she aspects those. She does have a nice trine at the end of the week with Neptune, which suggests that even though the beginning of the week can be hard, the back part of the week Venus will be happy. So watch her to be a little depressed or a little sad the front end of the week. She also aspects the nodes of destiny on the 15th. with a parallel to the North Node and a contraparallel to the South. So she's joining with the North Node by declination, and she is saying, okay, let's go forward together. And, of course, Venus in Scorpio, when she's good, she's very, very good. And when she's bad, she's better or really, really bad. So we're going to watch Venus's behavior. Now, she is answering to Mars in Leo because she's in Scorpio. Mars in Leo should make her reasonably honorable, right? And Mars in Leo answers to Virgo. Virgo's all about fairness. That's good. Virgo answers to Mercury in Libra. Libra's about balance, communication. Libra answers to Venus in Scorpio. We're back to Venus in Scorpio. So the final dispositor of Venus in Scorpio is Venus in Scorpio. So we can anticipate that whatever people's belief systems are about what they desire, they're going to really be wedded to this week. In other words, if they think everything always turns out bad for them, they're going to really be focused on how bad it always is. And if they think that everything always, you know, every cloud has a silver lining, they're going to be really focused on the positive, because Venus in Scorpio is going to deliver, because she's the final dispositor of Venus in Scorpio, after she goes through a whole bunch of dances, she's going to really deliver what she thinks, what you think you deserve. I've been doing a lot of courses, running into courses lately about how we think about things and how we create our reality. And I'm not in the sense of, you know, those books that came out a few years ago that were like, think you have $3 million and you have it. But how our reality about what our beliefs are change and shift our experience of the world. And how our creation energy kind of bounces out of that, and how we send out into the ionosphere the creative pulse of what we believe is possible for ourselves, and then it bounces back to us and says, oh, you asked for this, here it is. So Venus in Scorpio this week is very powerful, so I would encourage you to really kind of focus in a positive energy, in a positive manner, on what it is you desire and how. Because she's super active, and she's also linking up with that North Node of Fate at the end of the week, so she won't be taking you someplace. Mars in Leo runs from 7 to 11 Leo. Okay, so he's in the Leo part, the playful, happy, chirpy part, and then he goes into the Sagittarian part of Leo, the visionary part towards the end of the week. He aspects the Nodes of Fate on the 10th by a square. This is a moment of choice. He squares Saturn on the 9th, which is the blocks get lifted. He squares the Nodes of Fate on the 10th in Scorpio at 8. Now, next week, Saturn is diving into the Nodes of Fate, okay? So we've got a lot of Nodes of Fate action, meaning we're at very, very important times, very important turning points in our own lives and, of course, in the lives of the world. Certainly if we go bombing Syria, you know, we've got this whole idea Russia's quiet. Well, Russia's got its ships back there. I mean, it's a little crazy-making, but I'm not even going to go there. It makes me too nervous. Mars square, the Nodes of Fate, is very much about the choices we make. Mars is in Leo. It wants you to choose the honorable way. Leo is honorable. Answers to Virgo. Virgo does the right thing. Okay, go for the honor and the right thing on the 10th when faced with the choice around 9 at night, 8:49 at night. Mars is also trine Uranus on the 14th. It's a fire trine. It's very explosive. It's coming off of the square of Saturn, so it's going to have a lot of energy to it. It's going to have been hit to the nodes. It also has an inconjunct to Pluto on the 11th about how you use the power. Okay, it's all about how we use power, good or bad. And Uranus square Pluto is asking us a lot about how we envision power, how we see power, how we use power. Be conscious of your power dynamics this week. Be conscious of when you go, you know, you have to do it my way. If you don't do it my way, I'm not going to be your friend. Or, okay, so you're giving me an ultimatum, huh? Cool, yeah, okay, so how am I going to work with the ultimatum? And why do I have to have an ultimatum from you? Understand that the whole dynamic with power right now, especially the babies born in the 60s, because they're really feeling it, because they've got that Uranus-Pluto square, I mean, we all have it, but they have the natal condition, which is all about do they have the power or not. If they don't have it, they tend to be bitchy. And if they have it, they tend to misuse it. Not always. I'm not going to say all of them are bad. But it's understanding that Uranus square Pluto is about the understanding of consciousness of power and how it works, and naming it, claiming it, looking it dead in the eye and saying, okay, this is how it works. This is it. This is the story. Jupiter's quiet. Saturn's quiet. The nodes of fate aspect, aspect Vesta, which is changing your house and your home and your hearth on the 10th and giving you a choice about what you want to live in, what your home looks like, what your body looks like. And on that note, the British lady spoke. Show's over. Have a great week. Talk to you next week. Bye.